The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores. I am Peddlin' Ron, and you are listening to Bicycle Talk, episode 406, to be broadcast on Wednesday, July 31st, oh my gosh, 2024, on WHUS 91.7 FM and WHUS.org. Welcome to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, the lovely Dr. Fran Storch. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you can feel free to comment down below. We should be able to respond. Bicycle Talk is a show where we talk about bicycles, bicycle culture, bicycle advocacy, upcoming news in cycling, the bicycle business, and the bicycle calendar. If you have a comment or you'd like to contribute information to the show, you can comment down here below, or you can send me an email at bicycletalk1@gmail.com. Okay, you can also listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. Ron's Rant of the Week, all eyes on New York City, always on New York City, because there's just so many things going on in New York that shouldn't be, bicycle-wise and infrastructure-wise. And of course, am I going to leave Kathy alone this week? No, probably not. And I'm also going to shoot at Mayor Eric too, because they have a listing here, Eric the Relic in blaming dead pedestrians on, you don't want to know. It's a car thing. People just love their cars, and people love to not enforce the whole car thing. But it's a car culture, and I have a new word I'll share with you in a little while, which I'm just thrilled.
Yeah, I just saw it.
I'm thrilled about.
I know what it is. Can I say it?
Yeah. No, you can't say it yet. I have to announce it.
All
that's
right.
Okay. You okay. In the background that's so far back that no one can hear you. So businesses, here's the gripe. Businesses thrive on car-free streets. Yeah, it works. Believe it or not, it does work. And if you don't think it works, you're going to listen a little bit later into the show. I'm going to be talking about Paris and the Paris Olympics, because the Olympics, as interesting as they are, and as many cool things that are going on right now with the Olympics, Paris has made some huge infrastructure changes for the Olympics, and it works. It works really, really good. So anyway, we'll get back to that. I've been listening to way too many podcasts lately, and they talk about this sort of thing. So Governor Hochul's decision to kill congestion pricing, it's really not helping at all. But of course, we'll get to this and more in the show. On a positive side, the Paris infrastructure. So when COVID hit, there were some major changes in Paris, because people still needed to get out and they didn't want to ride on the subways or the buses or do any of that. And of course, you know, that became more congested behavior in downtown Paris. So they made it bike and walking friendly. And I had this great picture that I took back in the days of COVID, and it wasn't a picture I took, but I pulled it off the internet, and it showed Paris just before COVID and all the cars and the congestion and people beeping horns and doing whatever they were doing. And then it showed what happened after COVID hit, and what they did was they shut down major streets in Paris and changed it into bicycle, scooter, walking transportation only. And it's like the cars were gone. They were just gone. It was so cool. So anyway, that's a positive thing. We'll talk more about that in the show. Paris Olympics, the American women are kicking butt big time. some good stuff coming up. I'm not going to go too deep into the Olympics because it's Monday and there's going to be more things happening. And I now know who won the Olympic men's mountain bike race because that was just broadcast this morning. But I'll probably talk a little bit more about that next week. But I can tell you it's a name we've heard from before. I'll leave it at that. One of the people I have to shout out here, actually, I'm going to shout out two women on the positive side, Chloe Dygert and Haley Batten. They both have done extremely well at the Olympics. Haley has won a silver in the women's mountain bike race, and Chloe Dygert has won a bronze in the time trial. And let me tell you about the time trial. If you didn't watch it, if you didn't get a chance to see it, go back and take a look. You can watch people falling down right and left because it was raining and it was slippery and it was just a mess. And even Dygert went down. She still got a bronze. So anyway, interesting stuff going on there. Other positive side, the Thread City Quiet Corner rides were yesterday. We had a whole bunch of people show up and be overwhelmed and amazed by, or underwhelmed and amazed. I don't know whether you're overwhelmed when you don't see any cars or if you're underwhelmed when you don't see any cars. But the comment that I constantly got from people that I was talking to, because I ran support for the entire ride. So I was driving around in my car with tools and tubes and cables and repair stand in the back of my car, and also helping our friend Dave put out signs and try to, you know, help out with the rest stops and all that. So every time I would talk to someone about it, I'd ask them where they were from, how they heard about the ride, and what they thought so far. And they said the lack of cars was phenomenal. It just, that seems to be the overwhelming observation was that there are no cars here, as in compared to where most of these people are coming from. We have people coming out of Boston. We have people coming out of all parts of Connecticut, Rhode Island, other parts of Massachusetts. And, you know, the car situation is just, it's pretty thin out here. They don't call it the quiet corner for nothing. Shh, don't tell anyone unless they ride a bike. And then you can tell everyone all about it. Because if I see more bikes on the road than I do cars on the road, then we're spreading the good word. So anyway, Mechanical Minute and Ron's tip for the week. All right. Flat tires in the Peloton. Why do I keep getting so many flat tires in the Peloton? Have you noticed this year? I just keep watching and looking at it. And, you know, I've had a few people comment. Even a couple of people I talked to yesterday said, what's with all the flat tires in the Peloton? You know, all these big races and there's flat tires all the time. So what's the story? Well, the story is, and this is an interesting thing, because it also happens you get more flat tires when you're on a group ride than when you ride by yourself. You ever notice that? Do you know why that happens? Well, I'll tell you what. First of all, the Peloton, the high-level professional bike racers, are using super lightweight tires. And they're trying to cut every last rolling resistance ounce that they can, or kilogram that they can, or gram at that point, really. Because it makes a difference in the way the bike feels, accelerates, climbs, etc. So they're running on some pretty lightweight stuff, and they are more susceptible to getting flats. So the downside of that is that if you hit anything sharp, you're done. The Peloton has, you know, support vehicles and they can just quickly change and all, but if you're trying to ride like a pro and you're trying to buy all the fancy tires that the pros are riding on, you're going to get more flats. And I used to have this discussion with customers at the bike shop. They'd come in and they'd say, I want the new XYZ super duper extra light blah 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 blah, you know, tire. And I'd look at them and I'd kind of go, you know, I can get you that tire, but I'm not going to stock that tire, and here's why. And once again, you know, I'm going to revert back to the lovely car-free roads of northeastern Connecticut. And our roads can be a little trying at times. Now, we had some great pavement yesterday. There's a whole bunch of new pavement that went down. It's really nice. But you will occasionally, this time of year, run into a chip-sealed road. And you will also run into roads that have not been repaired in the last 10 years. And so there'll be cracks in the pavement, and there'll be some potholes, and there'll be some patched areas, you know, where they put a little bit of pavement patch down to take care of a pothole or whatever. But the roads aren't perfectly smooth. They're not California smooth, as I like to say. The reason also for that is we have something here called winter, and winter tends to crack the roads because of frost heaves and just, you know, the changes of temperature. They change the structure of the asphalt, and so, you know, we have that. So my feeling was not to sell someone the lightest tire out there, but sell them the one that was the most durable, and I would get objections. So fortunately for those folks, there was another bike shop in town, and they could go over to the other bike shop and they could buy their tires there, and then 6 months later to come back and buy all their tires from me, because they found out that they were just selling them something that didn't work. And they came back and trusted the opinion of Ron, the guy who has way too many opinions, we know that. And, you know, I put them on something I knew was durable and I knew was going to last. So they, but anyway, going with the lightest tire out there is not necessarily the right thing to do. And of course, going to tubeless tires, which people have a fascination for them because they have a lesser rolling resistance and all these other lovely things, and supposedly lighter because you don't have a tube inside your tire, but now people put inserts in their tubeless tires to keep them from getting, just put a tube in the tire. Don't worry about it. And if you really are concerned about flat tires, put a little sealant inside the tube. Make sure you get a tube that has a replaceable valve on it. And you can take care of that kind of stuff. And if you're carrying a little extra weight on your bike when you're out on your group ride, or, well, we won't tell you what we call some of those rides. But if you're out on your group ride and you're really concerned that you're carrying way too much extra weight, think about the last time you had to wait for the rider on your group ride to fix his flat because he's riding on stuff that's too light. I said it. That's it. So, back to the Peloton. The Peloton does get unlucky sometimes with a puncture not far before a finish line, which really stinks because you can't get the wheel exchange and the tire fixed before you cross the finish line, so it does cost you a race. But when you're in a Peloton of 150 guys that are tightly packed, it leaves very little room to avoid and virtually no chance to even see small bits of gravel or maybe a little piece of glass or whatever. Everybody's just kind of rolling over it. So a solo rider will see this all the time. But if you're in a big group, it's hard to see. So I get it. All right, that's it. That's what I got on flat tires. My feeling on tubeless tires continues to be the same. I don't find them to be better than anything else that's out there. I find tubulars still to be better than most other tires that are out there, but no one will agree with me because I'm just too old school for you. But whatever. You guys ride whatever you want to ride. I am riding clinchers for the most part right now. I do ride tubulars occasionally, but my clincher tires that I ride are durable clincher tires. And that's the only reason I ride them, because I don't want to get a flat. So I'll use a very, very durable clincher tire. And that's all I got on tires. It's not about the weight of the tire. It is about the performance. I'll give you that. More TPI on a tire, more threads per inch, definitely change the quality of the ride of the tire. But you can get a very, a 300 or more TPI tire, which is also very durable because that casing is very well made. So, again, if the tire weighs, you know, 20 or 40 or 90 grams more than the other tire, but it lasts, I go with the tire that lasts. Okay, content. Big time RIP. Got some sad news this week. And this is a special shout out to Guy, Kurt, and Kayla at Amity Bicycles. Their mom, Susan Daniello, passed away. She'd been fighting with a disease for a while, as a lot of people do. And Susie was like, you know, she's also known as Big Mama. Everybody knew her as Big Mama. I knew her as Susie. I knew her as Susan. But she was the district representative for USA Cycling many, many, many years ago, back when I was first getting into my bike shop and also into bicycle racing. She eventually got the position of the regional director for USA Cycling, which I don't even think it was called that back then, but it doesn't really matter. USCF is what it was called, United States Cycling Federation. So anyway, Sue and Guy owned a bicycle shop in Woodbridge, Connecticut, which is still there, Amity Bicycles. And they had a couple of kids, Kurt and Kayla, and Kurt eventually grew up to be the bike shop owner. So now Kurt's there. And Kurt's a great guy, and he learned a lot from his mom. Big mama had big shoes to fill, but she was a big event person, put on events, and was very involved with the Special Olympics and a lot of other things. And anyway, Kurt now puts on mountain bike races, cyclocross races. He's following in the footsteps. And I used to race against his dad, Guy, back in the day when I was bike racing. So I have a long, long history with these folks. It goes way back into the 70s, so a long, long time ago. But anyway, Sue passed away, and she will be missed. She's just... Kurt put the listing out. My mother, Susan Daniello, passed away peacefully yesterday, surrounded by loved ones. She cared for so many and would want us to celebrate her life by continuing to show compassion for one another like she taught all of us. And he had a lovely picture of her from 2017 doing what she did best, teaching. And there is going to be a celebration of life for Sue this coming Sunday. So if you are local and you have a connection to that, it is open to the public, and it's on Facebook, so you can find it there. And I'll try to post it on the Bicycle Talk page too, because maybe I already did. I might have done that already. But anyway, Big Mama Sue Daniello, they used to call her Big Mama, a true legend in the cycling community. She actually helped me set up my very first Mansfield Hollow cyclocross race 41 years ago. One of my favorite stops on my sales route, stopping at the hub of all things cycling for the New Haven area, Amity Bike Shop. The energy, influence, and power of this special woman will be missed by us all. So on Sunday, between 3 and 7 p.m., there is a celebration of life for Susan Daniello. There's also, you can go online and you can comment there too if you want to. But anyway, very sad, but boy, she had so much energy. She wanted to put a track in Connecticut so bad. She had a lot of energy going into that. She was really, really into the Special Olympics. And Sue was a busy, busy lady. She got a lot done in her life. She got a whole lot done. And anyway, I plan on going down and joining in on the celebration of life next Sunday. This Sunday coming up. I have a new favorite word, and Fran already knows it, and she was going to blat it out, but I said, no, don't do it. This is my new favorite word. Are you ready? It's called carspiracy. Not conspiracy, carspiracy. Yeah, I like that word. So, carspiracy is basically all of the things that we have been told over the years that we need to do to help the car companies sell more cars and the oil companies sell more oil. Yeah, it's a little bit of a carspiracy. I like it. I think that's a good word, and I'm going to continue to use it because it just makes a lot more sense. So truth over fiction on congestion pricing. There's a lot out there. Funding transit without a robust congestion toll will leave congestion pretty much as it is. And New York will remain the globe's most gridlocked city. Imagine that. New York City is the most gridlocked city in the world. I find that hard to believe. I've seen pictures from other parts of the world. But anyway, there are things you can do to create a better atmosphere. And why did I bring up Paris earlier?
Carspiracy.
Carspiracy. You like that word, don't you? Isn't that good? It's a good word. It's a good word. So Paris is my latest attraction, not because of the Olympics, but because of what they've done to bring the Olympics to Paris. I listened to a radio show the other morning, and it was actually an environmental show, because the Olympics is possibly the most environmentally disastrous event that anyone could host, any country can host. Now, you think about it, you go, well, what's so terrible about that? Well, you know, there's a lot of buildings that are built for the Olympics, and then they are basically abandoned afterwards. They don't use them, or they use them very little, so their worth is, it's a waste of money and time. Paris is doing some temporary units, so they're doing something there. They're also bringing everything in tight and together and trying to keep it within a certain range so that there's not as much transit issues, and their train system is very good, their bus system is very good, and they're really pushing and encouraging people to use bicycles to get everywhere they can to watch the Olympics, of all things. Very cool, huh? So they really tightened it up. They tightened the structure up really nice. The beauty of it is that as they did it, they're also keeping some of the lesser, the lesser fortunate areas that are around Paris, communities around Paris, they're giving them all a big upgrade. So their transportation systems are all being upgraded. It's a wonderful thing. Everybody wins as far as this goes. So Paris is now being used as a model for implementing safer street infrastructure. And so we're all kind of starting to pay attention to Paris. Now, we've always paid attention to Amsterdam and Copenhagen, and you know, those are the big cities that are very bicycle friendly, and they've done an amazing, amazing job of that. So, you know, now that needs to move to even bigger cities and even more well-known cities. New York is a big target here. Really big target. New York would be a perfect city to start making these things happen. One interesting thing about New York versus, let's say, Boston is that Boston was built on the I'm going to go over there to get there, versus New York was grid. They put grid in, and grid is much easier to navigate.
Boston is a wagon wheel.
Boston is a wagon wheel,
it's
right?
It's based on Faneuil Hall.
It's based on the common. And everything builds out from the common. And it also is based on the curvature of the bay, which is yet another problem because it's like a C. It kind of curves in to the Boston area. So nothing in Boston makes a whole lot of sense if you're trying to get from point A to point B. And my constant joke about Boston is that Boston is one of those few cities that you can be going north, south, east, and west on the same road. Because it's true. It's the most confusing, crazy city ever.
St. John's, Newfoundland was like that too. They're just very old cities.
Yeah, they are. They're very old cities. It's all true. But there's old cities in Europe that are easier to get around, but they also made their adjustments.
And New London, you know. When I came to Connecticut, after having lived in Newfoundland, and I went to New London, I'm like, oh, New London reminds me of St. John's.
Yeah.
So New London's like that too. It's based on
Well, it's a seaport town. So So that's what it is.
Not a grid.
So not a grid. Not a grid at all. No. And we have lots of those over here on the East Coast. We have a lot of that type of structure. As you get further west or even further south, depending on when things were developed, you'll see more grid-like activity because it's a lot easier to work with than circles. Circles are hard. But anyway, that's what we've got. So there's lots of things. So how did Paris become so bike friendly? All right. 4 years ago, Paris embraced on an idea called the 15-minute city. Okay. The concept that you should be able to live a short walk or bike ride away from work, school, stores, and other aspects of daily life. Since then, the city has radically changed. There are now 746 miles of protected bike lanes, and more Parisians bike than drive. And that was as of May 9th, 2024. So there you go. And I don't know if you've ever seen any old videos of Paris and oh my God, it's like people are on horns and on brakes and on accelerators all at the same time. It's crazy. So there is a video which I have posted on the Bicycle Talk website, Facebook page, sorry. And it is from our good friends at the Global Cycling Network, and it is worth a watch. It won't take you very long to get through it, and it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant and talks a lot about this. So it's a recommended video from the Global Cycling Network. I think it's great. It makes a lot of sense. Our world is built up of roads and cars to get us to our destination. But what about cycling and even walking? Have we been brainwashed to think that the car is always king? Does that go back to that really strange word, carspiracy? Yeah, I think so. I think so. I think we have been brainwashed about it because when you look at more functional cities worldwide, their transportation systems are just so much better than what we have. We just went for the big spread here in the United States. We've got a lot of space and a lot of space between one place and another, and so we built this infrastructure which is really designed around automobiles. As a matter of fact, the suburb is a car centric car one. It's a wonderful thing for the automobile industry. Build a suburb outside of a city so that Fran's dad has to drive his car into the city, into New York City to do his job, and then he'll drive his car back. He probably took the train.
He did. He drove his car to Princeton Junction and took the train. Always.
Right. But there are many other places. I'm going to point right here to good old Connecticut. There's no train service to Hartford. And so there is a train service that runs through Hartford, but you have to be on the line, and the line doesn't come out to Eastern Connecticut. Thank God. And because if it did, more people would live out here. But it doesn't really go to Western Connecticut. It doesn't go to the west of Hartford. It only goes north-south, and that's it. So it's not very useful to many people who work in the Hartford area. And that's a problem. So you have to use buses instead. And people, for some reason, don't like to ride the bus. And I don't get it because it makes a lot more sense. And, you know, rather than sitting in traffic and dealing with the stress of, okay, that we can move forward now 3 feet. Okay, we got to go over to this lane because this lane just had an accident in it. And we got to do this good. Sit on the bus, let them deal with it. They got their own lane. They got a place to get you in and out of the city without too much trouble. And you know, then you get to walk from the bus stop to work, which is really good for you. Hello. You know, makes more sense. But making sense is not always the way we are dealing with this. So this video says over the last 100 years, people have been brainwashed. And there's a psychology and a politics behind it. And how our environments are part of the problem as well, how we're built-in environments are part of the problem. And also, once you see it, you can't unsee it. This is definitely something you want to check out. And, you know, it might just bring you to that little challenge that I have every week, you know, where I say, just one day, park the car or truck and use your bike instead. You might just surprise yourself. I don't say that just because it's a fun thing to say. I mean it. It really does work. And you would be surprised at what you can do on your bicycle within a 10-mile range, if you've got a 10-mile range to work with, or the 15-minute city as Paris is showing us. So there's a lot of things that can be done. It's very political. It's very, very political. It's very influenced by big business. And those are really, really tough obstacles to get around because, you know, corporate America is now a person. And that, if you're listening to me from a foreign country and you heard me say that, you're going to go, what? Yeah, that's, well, welcome. Welcome to the United States. We've got things a little weird and a little backwards here. For a very forward-thinking country, we are pretty backward in so many ways. So anyway, there are solutions to this. So we're going to take a little deep dive into this and take a look at what we can do. And let's see here. So how cities can use Paris as a model for implementing safer street infrastructure. All right, because Paris is on the move. They're really starting to make it happen. So New York City has some of the world's worst traffic, wasting its residents' time slowing buses and exposing people to pollution, especially in the neighborhoods with many people of color. To relieve the traffic burden in Manhattan while creating new funds for public transportation, state lawmakers approved congestion pricing, which would charge drivers $15 to enter downtown and midtown. The system would be modeled on programs like London, Singapore, and Stockholm, right? The European cities. Europeans are so far ahead of us in this. They get it. They're smaller. They're more congested. They have to be ahead of us. They have to pay attention to this. But in June, you know, our good old New York governor, Kathy Hochul, announced an indefinite program delay. So she was going to do this in New York City. She was actually going to charge people more money to drive their cars into downtown. And then people started screaming and she started coming up and conjuring up a conspiracy of who would be hurt by doing this, and who would be hurt by doing this, she felt, were the workers, the people that were going into New York City to work. Well, yes, no, but the workers aren't going to be hurt because they're now going to have a mass transportation system which is being boosted by the funding that's being created from this that will actually get them efficiently to where they need to work. Makes a lot more sense, doesn't it? Does to me. So anyway, congestion pricing would provide a quality of life improvement for residents while increasing transportation efficiency. So getting it back on the agenda remains really, really important. But pricing is not the only mechanism to reduce traffic and cut greenhouse gases. In France, in Paris, decades of urban design choices and expanded investment non-car transportation have produced a sustained drop in car use, as well as fewer crashes and less pollution. The Parisian approach could be a model for New York and other cities. Did you hear me say before, there's more people riding bicycles in Paris right now than there are driving cars? This is Paris. Paris is like a big, big, big city. And yet, that's what's going on. So discouraging automobile use by reducing car-centric street space is part of it. Key to Paris's urban transportation policy has been the steady transformation of previously car-centric streets into pedestrian-focused environments, building on the 2021 decision to limit drivers to 30 kilometers per hour. Now, what's 30 kilometers per hour? It's 19 miles per hour for those of us here in the stateside. And I've been talking about if I were king, I've said this very, very a lot on my show. And I say it a lot when I'm talking to people about changing things. If there are crosswalks where pedestrians have to cross the street, the speed limit should be no more than 20 miles per hour. There's a reason for that. The reason is 20 mile an hour impact on a pedestrian is probably not going to kill them. A 40 mile an hour impact on a pedestrian will definitely kill them. A 30 mile per hour impact is going to cause way, way, way too much damage. So there's a 50-50 chance right there. Dropping it down to 20 miles an hour changes the game. Totally changes the game. Now, do you want to drive your gigantic behemoth SUV at 20 miles per hour when you know it has the capacity of going 110? Yeah, right. Not in the city. So anyway, they're limiting drivers to 30 kilometers per hour. That is huge. So all of a sudden, things get a lot safer for vulnerable users like pedestrians and cyclists, which, you know, this is the whole premise of the show. Notably, in 2013 and 2016, Mayor Anne Hidalgo closed highways that once ran on the Seine River banks to cars. This change created new public spaces open to pedestrians and cyclists in the city center. Such transitions occurred along many small streets in 2016, and the city began establishing neighborhood car-free zones on weekends, giving people more freedom to safely move around their community. The city has since advanced these efforts more dramatically, reducing car space at several of its major intersections, such as the Bastille and Republique Squares, installing pedestrian plazas and vegetation. Expanding sidewalks and planting areas have become more common. And at one square on the city's south side, a gray and concrete roundabout transformed into an urban forest. Cool, huh? So they also created school streets. All right, these are pedestrianized and landscaped blocks in front of elementary schools that slowed traffic or eliminated car access entirely. Hey, mom and dad with your giant SUV that has to drop your kid off at school every day, can't do that anymore. Nice, huh? I like that idea. I like that a lot. As a matter of fact, if you look at, this is bad. When I was on the Connecticut Bicycle Coalition, we used to evaluate, where accidents occurred as far as school kids went. And you know where most of the accidents occur with school kids? It's at the school. Because mom and dad had to drive the SUV to school to drop the kid off because they didn't trust the bus to be safe. And don't get me started. Anyway, the bus is way safer, mom and dad. Get a clue. If you're gonna drive your kids to school, drop them off three blocks away and let them walk. And maybe if it was restricted so you couldn't get any closer than three blocks away, that could happen. And, you know, it's like you can only helicopter for so long and your kids do eventually grow up. But that's what we have. So creating school streets is a great idea to do that. You know, if you just can't get close to the school unless you work there, you can't get close to the school. That's it. And that's a great idea as far as reducing problems with the congestion around a school and making it safer and let the kids walk, let them be outside. You know, it's so much better. They don't get enough time outside as it is. They're in front of a screen all day long. They're not getting the exercise they need. The health and the condition of their health in general is much lower than it used to be. This is not rocket science. This is simple stuff. So this is why New York has begun working on some of these policies, but the city still lags dramatically behind Paris's progress, and other American metropolitan areas have ample room to pursue these strategies. So these things can happen. You have to invest in non-car modes of transportation and providing alternatives, and there are ways to do this. The bicycle is a huge solution to a way, way bigger problem. So the bicycle really does put us in a place where we can make a very quick change, like overnight type change, into this situation, because bicycles are already here. The roads of which the bicycles are ridden on are already here. The cars are in our way. And that's really what this comes down to, is the cars are in the way of progress. And that's why the carspiracy must end. I like that word, Fran. I'm liking that word a lot. Carspiracy. So the carspiracy must end. This is it. This is the problem. The problem isn't bicycles on the road. It's cars on the road. Simple. Simple solution. Really is. And you know, just reflecting back to our weekend that we just had, where we brought a bunch of people into this area from outside of this area, where they're dealing with many, many, many more transporting vehicles, and hearing their comments about, boy, it's just, I rode on this road. I talked to one person, and they said, you know, I rode on this road, and I think I rode on this road for like a half an hour and didn't see a car. Not one car in a half an hour. That's unheard of where I live. Yeah, welcome. Like I said, Connecticut's quiet corner. Shh, don't tell anyone unless they ride a bike. That's kind of our feeling. So, you know, there's a lot that can be done here. There really, really is a lot. And it takes time, and it takes people getting behind it. And I talk about advocacy all the time on the show. I talk about what are you doing for advocacy on the show all the time. What's going on in your community? How safe are your streets? How safe is it around your schools? That's a key question right there. You really need to look into that and see exactly what the safety factor is around your schools, because that's where the kids are. And that's where, you know, that's where we have a lot of our problems too. So maybe if we just make it a little bit easier to let the kids walk, then they'd walk more. That'd be a good thing, right? So there's a lot to be done. There's Paris is definitely setting an example. Why they're in the spotlight right now? Well, the Olympics are there. So, you know, we've got that. We've definitely got that. You know, the feds are warning that Americans need to drive less to survive climate change, of all things. The U.S. will not be able to decarbonize the transportation sector without addressing the increased demand, a recent DOT report wrote. So why are so few transportation leaders doing it? I'll tell you why. Big oil, big business. You know, we humanized the corporations. What a huge mistake we've made. It's just terrible. And we're letting the corporate structure of our country take over our personal space. That's not good. That's not real good. And personally, I want more personal space on my bicycle, so I've got room to ride my bike and do things with my bike, because I feel better when I ride my bike, and I think a lot of people would too. So the Paris plan for the Olympic traffic has been build more bike lanes, and they have, and it's working, and that is really cool. I don't know if Snoop Dogg is riding a bicycle from one event to another, but I'm so sick and tired of seeing Snoop Dogg on the Olympics. I'm sorry. Oh, because he's a dope. Anyway.
He's not a dope. Oh, my God.
Here we go.
He's not at all. He's done. People were thinking things like that. And then I wrote a whole big piece on how he's doing all kinds of charitable things for youth. And he has all kinds of programs and organizations.
That's good.
Shouldn't say that about him. He's a good guy.
Okay. All right. All right.
just because he's a cannabis lover. So what? So are you.
Yeah, well, anyway. Anyway. So, so anyway, do check out this, the Global Cycling Network video, and it's, we're all living in a carspiracy. Over the last 100 years, the world has been brainwashed about cars, and it's definitely something we should look at. So check it out. I'm going to watch it again because I enjoyed it so much the first time. I definitely wanted to explore it. And then, you know, you look at things like articles that are out there in New York City. You know, downtown businesses are thriving on car-free streets. The governor tells us that everyone will lose because of having car-free streets. And yet she's not talking to the merchants. She's saying it's going to take away their business because people won't be able to drive in from the suburbs. Good, good, good idea. They won't be able to drive into the suburbs to go to their favorite restaurant. No, you have to take the train. Take the train in. That's all. No big deal. No big deal. More people riding the train gets safer. It's definitely a better way to go. But that's her big thing. And yet the people that are living in the city that can walk to their local restaurants or shops or whatever, they love it because they don't have to worry about getting hit by a car anymore because things are becoming built up for pedestrians and for cyclists. And, you know, you could always just ride your bike. It's really, really simple. And you know what? If you don't like that and you live out in the suburbs, maybe you need to move back to the city. You know, if you want all the things that the city has, and yet you want to live out in the country somewhere or the suburbs, it's hardly country around New York City, you know, you're going to pay a price. And you either develop your own network and neighborhood to mimic that of the city, or you move back to the city. But it's a selfish reason why people live in the suburbs. It's very, very selfish, and the automobile industry would love everyone to live in the suburbs. There's a reason they want that to be done. I'm going back to carspiracy. Yeah, I'm always going back to carspiracy. I love these do not enter signs that I'm seeing here, and it says accept bikes. I love it. I love it. It's great. So the gridlock that the governor was claiming, she was thinking of the little guys, local businesses, allegedly diner patrons who didn't want to pay the $15 toll. But she forgot about the other little guys, the restaurateurs, the bar owners, the neighborhood residents who are providing proof that when cities prioritize pedestrians and create spaces that don't cater to the automobile, businesses actually thrive and communities get empowered. So the business owners have an entirely different story about what the big business people are telling them. And I'm back to carspiracy. But if a small restaurant in a city is thriving because more people are walking or riding their bikes to their restaurant and taking up less space, parking space, etc., then what are we missing here? What are we missing? I got a great picture. I think it was from our friends at Bike Walk Bolton. Barbara Modio sent a picture of, they had a ride that they were doing. They were using the rail trail, and they ended up coming into town, into Manchester, and they stopped at a restaurant to have something to eat. And there were 12 bicycles parked in a parking space in front of the business. It's 12 people, okay, going to one business, patronizing that business, and only taking up one parking space. This isn't rocket science. This is really, really simple. It's common sense. And if we could get more and more people to look at that, we could really make a huge difference. I'm going to move on here because I've got a little bit of Olympics I got to touch base with here, because there are definitely some things we need to go over. And I'm going to start with the time trial. And the Olympic time trial was Saturday, July 27th, and men's and women's. And in the women's time trial, the Australian rider was first, and I don't have her first name, it's G. Brown. Henderson was second from Great Britain, and third was Chloe Dygert from the United States. And we've heard Chloe's name before on the show. I've talked about her in the past. She's definitely, she you know, definitely turns heads as far as her performances have been over the years. She's also had some tragedy that she's had to work with. She, at one point, was not real sure if she was going to be getting back on her bike again. You know, cycling is a really hard sport. That's all I can tell you. It can be very, very hard on your body. But she ended up, the winning time trial was 39 minutes and 38 seconds. Second place was 41.09. Get this. Third place was 41.10. She got the bronze by one. The person who got the silver got her by 1 second. And then the fourth place rider from France was 41.19. And the rest is history. So, yeah, one second of difference between a gold and a silver medal. Very exciting. Now, if she hadn't crashed, she probably would have had a silver medal, I would guess. But she did slide out. Everybody slid out. It was chaos. It was absolute chaos.
Rain and paint.
You know, rain on paint. Rain on paint is not a good combination.
No.
Add to that a time trial bike.
Oh.
And I don't need to say much more. You know, time trial bikes, just, you know, I know people love their TT bikes and they love their triathlon bikes and all, but they suck to ride. They really do. They're terrible. They are not easy to handle. And so, anyway, let's go on to the men's. Well, this is a big unexpected surprise. Remco Evenepoel won the time trial. World champion time trialist. So, as he should, 36 minutes, 12 seconds. The next closest person was Ghana from Italy at 36:27. And then we had Wout Van Aert from Belgium. It was next at 36:37, 10 seconds behind. And then we go to Jay Tarling from Great Britain, who was at 36:39. So 2 seconds difference, and that was fourth place. And fifth place, I have to bring him in here because at 37 minutes and 16 seconds, it was McNulty from the United States, and he was very disappointed, but, you know, he still didn't make the podium, but he did okay, but he was expecting a lot more than that. But that happens, and that's your Olympics. Now, American Haley Batten won the silver in the women's mountain bike race. If you're watching the Olympics and watching the both the men and the women, they have a specially constructed course for the mountain bike. It's gnarly. It is boulders and all sorts of crazy stuff and jumps and all. It's not my kind of bike riding, but, you know, it's fun to watch. Definitely fun to watch. So, yeah, Haley Batten was like, she was ecstatic when she, and it was neck and neck between second and third place. So it was a fun race to watch. And I think did she have the flat? No, it was Thomas Pidcock who had won the men's, and he had a flat tire and still won. So it's been good. It's been good stuff. The Olympics has been fun. So we're enjoying it. We're definitely enjoying it. I'm going to move on to events because we'll talk more about the Olympics as we get deeper in here. Maybe next week I'll have a little bit more information for you. We've got some track events coming up. We've still got road races coming up. By the way, there has been a Tadej Pogačar has decided not to do the Olympics. There's some talk about that. About the for those who are into conspiracies, not carspiracies, conspiracies, there is talk about the fact that the Olympic Committee is a little bit more strict on their drug testing. I'll just leave it out there. You guys can discuss it. You can get back to me on it. But Anyway, Tade has complained that he is very fatigued and he really needs to take a rest. So he's not going to be in the Olympics, which is interesting. So we'll see. Moving on. Events. Next, we have in northeastern Connecticut the 2024 Steeplechase Bike Ride and Walk on Saturday, August 17th. Got road rides of 20, 35, and 62 miles, a 5-mile fundraising walk, and in addition to last year's 18-mile gravel ride, we also have a 40-mile gravel route, 90% dirt roads. And I told people yesterday when I was telling them about the ride, I said, if you see 10 cars on that ride, I will be very surprised. So if you're looking for a car-free environment and you want to do some gravel roads, we got some great stuff here for you. And that's the Steeplechase Bike Tour. It's on Bike Ridge. Lime Rock Park Epic coming up on October 8th, 2023 in Lakeville, Connecticut. Yeah, it's based on the legendary Lime Rock Park in Connecticut's Litchfield County. Gravel Fondo promises to become an autumn classic in the Berkshires. Riders will be offered three distances, an epic at 68 miles, 5,000 feet of elevation, 14 gravel sectors, five of which will be timed, two rest stops, the Explorer, 53 miles with 3,600 feet of elevation, 10 gravel sectors, four of which will be timed, and two rest stops, and the Express, an 18-mile route with 1,100 feet of climbing, two gentle dirt road sections, perfect for those new to gravel, and one water stop. So, a bunch of stuff coming up there. I'll talk more about that later on in the show, in future shows. And we're going to Project Mayhem Cyclocross Series is also coming up this fall. And the season opener is Sunday, September 8th at Mansfield Hollow Cyclocross, my race right here in Mansfield, a mile and a half from where I'm broadcasting right now. 41 years and going strong. Thank you, Sue D, for helping me put that together 41 years ago. Ah, congestion pricing in New York City and other big cities. How about lowering the, how about we lower the speed limits? And hey, Vuelta a España is right around the corner. Yeah, I know we're going to get through the Olympics and then we got the Vuelta. Yay! Bike racing, love it. So, 2024. Are you going to ride more miles? Are you going to ride and commute to work or around town? Are you looking for better fitness or simply enjoying the bicycle rides that you do and slowing down a little bit and smelling the roses? They smell great. I'll say it again. It won't be my last time. Get loud. Get active. Our time has come. Stop complaining about traffic, dangerous roads, and the price of gas and the lack of places to safely ride your bike and join the revolution of change. Park your car or truck one day and ride your bike instead. You just might surprise yourself. The views expressed in this program do not reflect the views of the staff, management, or licensee of the station. You have been listening to Bicycle Talk with my friendly co-host, Fran Storch. And if you're watching on Facebook Live, of course, you can make your comments down below, or you can send me an email to bicycletalk1@gmail.com. You can listen to past episodes of Bicycle Talk on whus.org, iTunes, Spotify, and now on my Bicycle Talk YouTube channel. If you'd like to contribute information to the show, just drop me an email, bicycletalk1@gmail.com. This is Pedalin' Ron. Remember, keep that rubber side down and the wind at your back. Get out and ride your bike. It really could save your life. This is 91.7 FM, WHUS Stores, and WHUS.org. Thanks so much for listening. See you next week. Get on your bikes and ride!